Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Upset alert. Penn State, Ohio State. This is Penn State Nittany Lion basketball from Learfield.
Garner fires up the three. Going again. 25-14, and Shep Garner stays hot. Stevens backs out. Top of the key, it's Carr. Screen from Stevens. Carr drives. Far wing, Bostic fires the three. Got it. Penn State leads 55-45 with 12-14 to go. Here, wing Garner to his left. They go back to man-to-man.
They had Watkins behind it.
Zemgulis, three is good from the far wing. Davis Zemgulis gives Penn State a 10-point lead. Into Stevens, back to Carr. Carr down the floor.
What is
for three
doing?
To win the game. Banks it in, and the Nittany Lions at the wire win it. 82-79 as Tony Carr makes it a three-pointer from 30 feet, and the Nittany Lions win it at the wire.
We are Penn State. When you think sports, think News Radio 1070, WKOK. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070, WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, and the pickle bar is indeed, let's say it all together now, second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills, of course. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sean, good Friday to you.
Same to you, my friend. Another night at the office for you last night. How about that?
Well, it's a great win for them. But again, they've been playing these kind of games. And I think as Dick finally said, he said, look, they finally have one go their way. And that was big for them to do that. Now, they need to follow it. I mean, they come right back. They play Rutgers tomorrow in the Thon game at the Jordan Center. You can't just be a one and, hey, look what we did. You've got to come right back and say, all right, here we go and put the accelerator to the floor. It's going to be a potentially a trip to the dentist kind of game tomorrow with Rutgers, because Rutgers is a good offensive team, not a great one, but they're a very good defensive team. But last night, emotionally, was big. Now, let's dispel a couple of quick things right away. Number one, you're in that position in part, people will say, well, because at the end, Ohio State caught them. Typical four-minute meltdown, blah, blah, blah. You know, needless to say, I've heard it all. And I politely listen. Look, it is Ohio State that nailed 4 3-pointers late to make that happen. And I would say 3 of the 4 were tough shots. I mean, really tough shots, including the one that tied the game, where I give them all the credit in the world for making them. In other words, when Minnesota makes it, it's bad Penn State defense. But when Penn State makes its 3-pointers, it's luck. Okay, I'm confused as to what your standard is. Penn State made a lot of 3-pointers last night. And look, you are not going to have, you're going to have one game a year where you make 78% of your 3-pointers. I mean, one. Maybe one every 2 years. But I will point this out so people do understand. Exactly out of 351 teams in college basketball, where do you think Penn State ranks in 3-point percentage this season? How about 41? Okay, Penn State's 41st in the nation in 3-point percentage. Now, the next thing, of course, the cynic would say is, well, what's it against non-conference teams versus the Big Ten? I mean, really, that's where the difference is. Well, you'd have to actually take some time and look at the stats. Penn State is 39% for the season. They are 39% against non-conference opponents, and they are 39% against Big Ten opponents. They've got three guys shooting over 40%. Now, 79%, 78% is a ridiculous number. We know that. But then again, Ohio State was 16 for 16 at the free throw line. That, too, is a ridiculous number, especially considering that half of those attempts were by Jayshon Tate, who's a 59% free throw shooter. And you know how much I respect Tate's game. I respect Tate's game a lot. And And but he hit free throws last night, which is not normally what he does. Okay. C.J. Jackson's improved as a three-point shooter. Bates Diop's just a great player. He is just terrific. But Penn State was able to go out and lead the game for 37 minutes. They built up the collateral. And yeah, did they bank it a shot to win it? Yeah, but they also built up collateral over 37 minutes where it still gave them a shot to win the game at the end. There are a couple of keys. Let's go inside the game as to how Penn State won the game. You know, we talk about building up a lead, hitting shots, all critical. I mean, Ohio State hit 56% from the field. Penn State shot 58%. Now, if you're saying this is out of the norm for Penn State, yeah, 58% is out of the norm. But if I were to tell you Ohio State, the 13th-ranked team in the country, last night was the 10th time this season that Ohio State has shot 50% or better. Now, for a team that was 17-4 and 9-0 in the Big Ten, Sean, that would not surprise you that it shot over 50% 10 times this season, including last night. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me ask you now. How many times do you think Penn State shot over 50% for the season?
I'll say only five.
How about nine times? Okay. One behind Ohio State. Again, there's too many things about this basketball team that are assumptions where people who are doing the assuming don't know. Getting Josh Reeves back was really important. There's no getting around it. It's interesting because I knew a few hours before the game he was going to play. All right. But what was interesting about it is the players did not know. I got on the bus to go to the arena, and I knew he was going to play. The players didn't. The players thought he was in State College. I went in and talked to Josh in the training room when Saz was taping him up. And then after that, then he went out, and that's when the other players saw he was going to play. That's an emotional boost for everybody to see him because, look, he, you know, stat sheet stuffers are ones that make everybody around them better. You know, you're talking about your fourth leading scorer, your third leading rebounder, second on the team in assists, second in steals, although steals per game, he's first. He is sixth in the nation in steal percentage. He is 16th in the nation individually. 16 in the nation in offensive efficiency out of 4,562 players. 16th. And not only that, he's your best on-the-ball defender, and he also is the guy that's good enough to make up for a few other mistakes somebody else makes defensively. He's not perfect. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, but he has been the best all-around and most valuable player for Penn State in this particular year. Getting him back was a boost. Now, there are a couple things you can see a little bit. He and Mike Watkins have been on the same page and were really in a good groove before he had to exit. And last night, that still wasn't quite back yet. And there'll be a couple other little things. I mean, he only took one three-pointer last night. I thought Josh did a great job of playing within himself last night. Instead of playing too excited, too jacked up, too off the charts, I'm back, here we go. He just played his game, did a good job, got himself back into the playing groove. Because even though he's been practicing with the team, he's been practicing. Hasn't been playing in the games, but he's been practicing. He hasn't been practicing with the first unit, though. And it's a big boost getting him back. That, you know, now we'll see what they can do with it. But the factors. All right, let's get to rebounding. First 10 minutes of the game, Penn State, or maybe 12 minutes of the game, Penn State's out-rebounded 11-4 by Ohio State. It's not good. Final 28 minutes, Penn State won the rebounding battle 17-14. Here's the next big one, and this is really important. Penn State committed 8 turnovers in the first half. That's not a good number. eight turnovers in a half is not a good number. In the second half, Penn State committed two turnovers. So if they had an empty possession, a dry possession, the dry possession was because of a missed shot. It was not because they handed the ball over. So that allows you to have better possessions, more efficient possessions, and at least gives you a chance on the possession as opposed to a turnover, especially a live ball turnover, which can turn a game quickly. And Ohio State, to its credit, showed why they're a good team. I love their ball movement. I think Bates Diop, you can see why that when we get our ballots, he's going to be a guy that's going to get heavy consideration for Conference Player of the Year. He is a smooth player with length, good shot. I mean, is he a great three-point shooter? No, but he's a good three-point shooter, and he's got a nice inside game. He doesn't, and Kata Bates Diop does not force anything. He really lets the game come to him. He plays the game with a lot of maturity. And I'll be honest with you. I think the more I watched him on tape, the more I liked him. Now remember, he's always hurt Penn State. He's always played the first 2 years there. He played well against Penn State. I'm like, geez, this guy's good. All right. But now I see him and I see a pro now. And I feel like as this season goes along, like each time he goes out and plays, he's making himself more money. Because he's increasing his draft stock by how he's playing every time out. Because he's got the length, the face-up game. He can do some things with his back to the basket. He's smooth the way he plays. He's just a good, solid, all-around player with length.
Yeah, you're right about the length. I mean, a quick glimpse, you'd think, oh, he's just probably just a physical presence in the paint. But yeah, but such a smooth delivery with a shot, especially those two key three-pointers late in the game. Yeah. Where you're thinking, oh boy. We've seen this play out again. I'm just kind of biting my lower lip, and it's like, oh, I just got to pull this out. Just get some momentum going. That's the key now, Steve. Pancakes. Well, you know, now it's time to stack some wins because you don't want last night's game to go for naught.
Well, exactly. You want to take last night, big win, right, which does a lot for you. And again, you're talking about what are certain things that people look at in your season. You know, there are a couple things. They look at who did you beat, but they also look at where you beat them. Well, last night they went to Ohio State, and they beat a top 15 team. And when I mean top 15, I don't just mean 13th in the AP poll. I'm talking about 12th in the KenPom rankings, 11th in the RPI. BPI, they were ranked 15th. Sagarin ratings, they were 10th. I mean, they're all right in that neighborhood. That's the kind of team they beat last night on the road. Do you bank in a shot to win? Yeah. Is there an element of luck to that? Sure. I mean, but is there an element of luck to Bates Diop from 28 feet fading away and hitting a three? You think that's all? That's not luck? I mean, that is a deep, deep shot fading away. That was a tough shot. That was a well-guarded shot. And I give him credit. He made it. Tony made a lot of tough shots down the stretch, too. Oh, Penn State was also 4-4 at the free throw line in the final 4 minutes as well. In fact, that's another one. Penn State free throws, don't shoot them well late. Well, you don't make all of them, but you know what Penn State's free throw percentage is in the final 4 minutes of close games? And this is a stat I keep, 78%.
Well, you and DJ mapped it out perfectly late last night. Just that key spot, Steve, where you're hoping, oh, if they can just get to double digits.
Well, and that's what I was talking about. Can you do that? And then Jackson hit a three. Now, Jackson's three, the first one he hit was wide open. Penn State got lost on a rotation, and Jackson, who last year was a 26% three-point shooter, who this year has become a 40%er, stepped into that one and nailed it. Now, the second one Jackson hit, which I thought was the uh-oh shot, because now, well, great, now he's hit back-to-back. That was actually well-guarded. And both of Kata Bates Diop's shots were well-guarded. Sometimes guy hits it. Now, if you goof it up and whatever, and then offensively, Lamar Stevens hit a big shot down the stretch. Tony hit some big shots to keep it at bay, hit free throws. And there was a point where Ohio State was trading twos and got threes. So, but look, they won it. There is a bottom line. They did win it. And now they've got Rutgers tomorrow at 4 in the Thon game at the Jordan Center. Mark Hollis has resigned as the athletic director at Michigan State. Just to update that for you. All right, we got a lot going on in the show today. Nora Princiati is going to join us today. And the Pickle King will join us. He probably wouldn't mind being called that. So.
Oh, he'd love that.
Yeah, because he's one.
Yeah. Can't take it away from him.
All right. Oh, no, we could take it away from him. He just would never know it.
There you go. You and I are still tied in maybe the Pro Bowl to decide the whole thing for second place.
The Pro Bowl. I'm trying to imagine if I'm even going to watch the Pro Bowl. Wow.
I may get a glimpse. Just with all the Steelers involved, I may get a quick glimpse here and there.
Ah, yes, the Steelers, yes. All right, take a break. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Yeah, you need to take that and follow it up with the next one. They got Rutgers tomorrow at the Jordan Center at 4. I mean, it's a quick turnaround, but the quick turnaround also is you coming back home to play. And so, I mean, they could do tape and a walkthrough today, then just a full shoot around tomorrow, which is fine. You're going game to game. These guys would rather play games anyway. But tomorrow's the Thon game. They're going to have a huge crowd there tomorrow for that. Looking forward to it. Now, we're going to talk Nora Princiati about the Patriots for the Boston Globe final half hour. My brother in the 4 o'clock half hour. We're going to move him up a half hour today. And the next half hour, Bob Grove and the Penguins. Plus, plenty else to talk about. The wrestling team is hosting Minnesota tonight. This begins a huge home stretch for them of Minnesota. And they're at Rutgers Sunday for the Nick Soriano Invitational. And then they've got Ohio State and Iowa. Now, all of these are great for the sport of wrestling to have Penn State, Minnesota, then Penn State, Ohio State, and Penn State, Iowa. Those are the big matchups that the sport really needs to attract attention to it, and they're going to have them with huge crowds on hand for each. And hockey tonight is at Madison to take on Wisconsin. We've got Notre Dame here next weekend.
Hey, we're coming to you from the lot at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. We had to stop because up on their sign, it says 0% financing for 75 months. We had to check it out ourselves. I mean, it can't be right, but it is. Your interest rate will stay at 0% for 75 months. That's over 6 years. This incredible deal is on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serranos. There's also no payments for 3 months. Now, that's the best value you're going to find anywhere. Plus, every Kia offers the industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And they have the highest-ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, mid-size SUV, and compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality, according to J.D. Power. The sign is true. 0% financing for up to 75 months. Come on, honk if you love it, too.
We want to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
We'll see you here at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotorskia.com.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com. JD Power award information, visit jdpower.com. See dealer for details.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Bob Grove coming up in this half hour. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none. I'd like to point out that I'm not going to tell you to stock up for the Pro Bowl. Sorry, I can't do that. Hey, the Pro Bowl's this weekend. Stock up. Now, next week with the Super Bowl? All right. Now we'll talk about stocking up. Super Bowl and Pro Bowl? No. Even though I know Sean wants to watch all the Steelers in the Pro Bowl.
That's got to be the only reason. Just a little quick glimpse here and there. That's
how many Steelers? How many Steelers are in the Pro Bowl?
I believe 8.
Ooh, that's a big number.
It is.
Wow. All right, this day in sports history, then Bob Grove. We'll talk with him. Let's see. In 1924, Charles Jutroff of the United States won the 500-meter speed skating, the first gold medalist ever at a Winter Olympics. 1985, Wayne Gretzky became the first NHL player to score 50 goals in 49 games. He actually topped that. He had a season where he had 50 goals in 39 games. Let's see. John Gruden won his Super Bowl today. Tampa Bay beat Oakland 48-21. And that is this day in sports history. All right. The Penguins. Let's bring in Bob Grove now from... to talk a little bit of hockey here with the NHL All-Star Weekend coming up. And we'll talk a little bit more about basketball in a minute. Don't forget wrestling tonight with Minnesota coming up, too, at Rec Hall. Then they're at Rutgers Sunday. Bob, welcome. The Penguins have won 7 of their last 9 games. What are some of the common threads we're seeing right now?
Well, their big guns are all getting it done. If you look now at the the NHL scoring stats, the Penguins have 3 players in the top 14. That's more than any other team. So Malkin, Kessel, and especially Sidney Crosby is on a 9-game scoring streak right now. They're just pumping in the goals between those three guys. So that's a little different than we saw, a month and a half ago. I mean, I would also cite the special teams. The penalty kill's been terrific, and the power play's been number one in the league for most of the season. And right now, it's just almost in uncharted territory. So I think if you put things together, those are the big reasons why it's happening.
Schematically, when you look at the play, obviously they've got firepower, but you can have firepower.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, you can scout these guys as much as you want, but I mean, the bottom line is when you've got Kessel and Malkin out there, these are special athletes. These aren't just, guys who are good with the puck. They're creative. They each bring a little bit something different. Malkin is completely unpredictable. He's liable to try and make the pass and complete it that nobody thinks he should even think about doing. Sid will, Sid's beat you along the wall. He'll beat you up. He'll win pucks from you. And then he can beat you with a cute move as well. And then, of course, Kessel's got a release that, even Malkin and Crosby don't have. He's got the shot is what makes him special, even though he's made he leads the league in power play points, and he's been there all year. So he's been different. But you can't just, I don't think, scout the Penguins' power play and say, here's what they like to do. They like to get it to this player in this area and move it over to here, because it's not that simple. They move around a lot. They try a lot of things that they probably shouldn't try, and they pull them off because of their creativity.
Well, I mean, the league average on the power play is 19.4%. Penguins are 27.1%. I mean, they're way above the league average. In fact, they skew the league average.
No, exactly. So, and that's right. And these are just numbers for most people. So let me give you a little bit of historical perspective. Look, the Penguins have been around for 51 years. They're known for one thing, scoring goals.
Yep.
This is the most successful power play in the history of the Penguins. Their previous high was 25.9% back in 95-96 when Mario and Yager and those guys were all going crazy, and that was the highest scoring team in Penguins history. So they're over a percentage more than that, and believe me, a percentage is a lot when you're looking at these numbers. And here's the other thing I'll tell you. The last NHL team to finish a season at 27% or better was 28 years ago. That was Calgary. So the Penguins are in a stratosphere.
Then there's the other stuff about special teams. I mean, their penalty kills is 7th. In the NHL right now. So let's flip it to that.
Yeah.
Is it schematically or does Mike Sullivan, you know, because look, every once in a while he'll use some of his better players in the penalty kill. What do you like about it?
Well, here's the thing about their penalty kill. It was 20th last year.
Yep.
So to get to 7th, it's been a huge improvement. The goaltending is always a factor for every penalty kill that's good. So you could start there. Tristan Jarry especially has been strong in PK situations. Matt Murray as well. So the goaltending's been good. They've got a good rotation of players to put in there. And to your point, he's using Sidney Crosby more on the penalty kill. Still not very much, mm-hmm. but more than he has Sullivan at any other time as a coach. But he, the way the Penguins do it, guy, you know, is really it's they drop into a team that pressures you on the PK. They like to at times they a lot of times they like to kind of stay in their box and really take away shooting lanes. And these are guys like you know Kuhnhackl's the guy who's the big part of it, but Ian Cole does a lot of it on the backside. And they just invite you to shoot it, and then they block it. And that's also caused them some injuries. Hagelin missed time last year. Kuhnhackl's constantly in and out of the lineup because he's got injuries from blocking shots. I think it's at times it's a crazy way to make it work. But the Penguins, and this is going around the league a bit. You can say teams kind of do this more than they used to 10 years ago. That's certainly true. But the Penguins, I think, take it to another level at blocking shots. So they...
Well, that I watched you know, with the basketball schedules. You know, I've been all over the place, so I actually yeah. watched more of the West Coast swing last week. I watched the Sharks and I watched the Kings, and when I watched the Penguins, my first thought was I felt like I was watching when they were on the penalty kill, a baseline tennis team, right? Return every shot, and yeah. get you massively impatient and make you go for something, and then you blow it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, when teams throw it to the point back there, they don't go challenge that guy for it, and they just say, go ahead, and then they really try to keep themselves really in the line of sight of that shooter, and it can be very frustrating for these teams because, as you know, if you can get a puck through, now you create chances for deflections, you create chances for rebounds and crazy things to happen and all that stuff, but it's not easy getting shots through, so that has to be frustrating for teams.
With Matt Murray's situation, it opened the door for Casey DeSmith to be a part of this. What have you thought of his play?
He's been really good. Now, last night, you know, he gave up 3 in a span of, you know, 4 or 5 minutes
right.
Against Minnesota. But before that, it was kind of amazing to watch him in his first 3 NHL starts. He allowed 4 goals. He looked like a guy who had been here, done that. You know, he looked totally calm, totally confident, swallowing up pucks. He does not – anytime a puck gets around Casey DeSmith, he's grabbing it and he's going to take the face off. And it can be frustrating to play against a guy like that. So, yeah, you know, a little bit of a blip last night. Some of it's on his teammates for sure. But, I mean, he's been very, very impressive. And the Penguins have gone – Steve, they've gone from a team whose goaltending depth, you know, 5 or 6 years ago was highly questionable as an yeah. organization, and now you got Jarry, you got DeSmith, and you got Murray. Not only are these guys good, and yes, it's a small sample size for DeSmith and Jarry, but they're young, and you know, so these guys could be around for a while.
The NHL All-Star Game's down in Tampa coming up on Sunday. Is there, to you, you know, is there still value in an All-Star Game?
I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest with you.
I'm with you.
I'm really not. I mean, I think All-Star Games, I think of all of them, probably the baseball's probably the best.
Yes.
But, you know, as a huge hockey fan, I actually get more enjoyment out of watching the skills competition.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. It's a little different now that they've gone to the 3-on-3 format.
Yes.
You know, the division by division. That has helped.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. But still, you know, my simple answer to it is this. The one thing I love about hockey is the intensity of the game And when you take that intensity away, which the All-Star game does, I don't care what the format is, yes, the guys will get competitive in the three-on-three, and they're all trying to win, et cetera, et cetera. That's one of the big improvements for me. But the intensity has been wiped away. For me, that's the heart and soul of hockey. And so it's just, it's okay. I don't get too excited about it. I get a kind of a kick out of watching some of the skills, though.
And one final one, then I'll let you go, Bob. But to me, I'd rather see the All-Star game replaced by an Olympic year or by a World Cup of Hockey year, and where there's some meaning for all the players involved and there's an intensity to it. I'd rather see the All-Star game replaced by that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I feel great for the guys who are getting a chance to represent the United States and all these guys, Pyeongchang this year, and the country will get behind them and all that. But I miss the NHL players going there. And as you know, the NHL players are very upset that they're not going in stone, that they won't go next time. That'll be part of the negotiations and sort of the environment around that. So I hope they get back. But, yeah, the World Cup, awesome hockey, even though it's early in the season, and the Olympics. When you bring all of the best in the world in the Olympics, it's just fantastic.
The NHL All-Star Game used to be at the beginning of the season. Many decades ago, used to be at the beginning of the season. Was not in the. It didn't go to the middle of the season until I don't know, 40-something years ago.
Well, I don't remember the date, but yeah, I mean, interrupting a schedule. Back then it was a four, this is what Gary Bettman. This is his reason for not going to South Korea. Is they're kind of tired of tearing up their schedule and saying here we're just going to black out 3 weeks to go over there, and they just don't see the advantage in that. Whereas the players, it's a great source of pride for them, and they want to go now that they've had a taste of it and see what it's like to be around those other athletes, to be part of a world spectacle. They absolutely love it. So more to come on that in the future.
Bob, appreciate it. It's always great talking hockey with you, man.
Same here, Steve.
Bob Grove, great to talk with him. Next half hour, my brother. Final half hour will be Nora Princiati from the Boston Globe. More to come on today's show, including your calls at 800-795-9565. A lot going on. Don't forget, Bucknell is at Boston University on Sunday. It's a big game for the Bison, who have been red hot. They have been rolling. Now, Stephen Brown coming off a great performance for them. And they've got BU. Now, thinking beat BU, that would split the season series between them. It also would create more space in the Patriot for them. Penn State men's ice hockey is at Madison tonight and tomorrow. They've got Notre Dame here next weekend. Wrestling has Minnesota tonight, 7 o'clock, Rec Hall. Then they're at Rutgers on Sunday, and then they've got Ohio State and then Iowa coming up. I want to say Ohio State's Rec Hall and Iowa's the Jordan Center. I think that's right. And then Penn State basketball, after the big win last night over Ohio State, they've got Rutgers tomorrow at 4. That Rutgers game tomorrow at 4 is the Thon game. So, again, that is that's what's coming up. Hey, look, it was a great win for them last night. Tony Carr did the right thing. He got hot down the stretch. Well, it doesn't matter if you're the point guard or another player on the floor. You're in a stretch run, and if you got a hot hand, you want to feed the hot hand. Well, Tony Carr was the hot hand down the stretch, except for one baseline fadeaway. It was a shot when he took it. I didn't like where even before he took it, I thought he's going to take this shot. My thought was, don't take that. It's not a good shot. That's the only shot, I think, down the stretch he missed. Penn State was 4-for-4 at the free throw line down the stretch. Look, they made a lot of big plays. Because they made a lot of big plays, they won the game. 82-79. Yeah, he banked it in at the end. Element of luck to it? Of course there is. But there was also a lot of skill that got them to the point that at least gave them a shot to win at the end. So that's a big win for them. Now you got to follow it up, and you got to do it right away. You fly right back. And again, but the plus is you're coming back home, you get 9 home games in a year in the conference. Only 2 are on Saturdays, which is just... But everybody's in this boat. I think Aren't there big? There's a Big Ten game tonight, right? They've got this Friday night and Monday night package now. They've got them all over the lot. It's really interesting when you look at scheduling. For example, hockey here is sold out. But if you go to a hockey game that happens during the week here, there are tons and tons of empty seats because hockey is a traditional Friday-Saturday sport. And again, Friday people can get in here. Saturday you absolutely can get in here. But if they happen to play on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Monday, they got a lot of empty seats at Pagula only because, well, let's face it, the market dictates that. Wrestling's been really fortunate in that. Wrestling does not wrestle in the middle of the week. Like, women's volleyball is really popular, but Russ Rose will be the first to tell you that when they have a home match right after a football game, man, they got to shoehorn people in there. Wrestling's been a Friday-Sunday deal. They have not been asked yet to wrestle on Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights or Thursday nights. Along the way, they haven't been asked to do that because, again, the reason is TV. I mean, they're going to be on TV for some matches, but they are not being asked to move the schedule to make it happen.
Speaking of TV, tonight for Big Ten Hoops on FS1, it's Wisconsin at Michigan State.
Yeah. Guess what? I mean, here's a really tough one. I know BTN is trying to get out of a Michigan State women's gymnastics meet coming up. It was scheduled for TV. Like, oh, boy. Now, the irony is, and it's only irony, that we'll be doing our show in East Lansing on Wednesday. Now, don't expect anything other than either what I read or whatever. I'll probably learn a lot more in the arena just talking to friends that I trust. There are two in particular I know that at some point I will be talking with just to kind of get a read and a feel for them as to what's happening there. And they'll be, you know, and look, there's probably some things they know and there's probably a lot of stuff they don't know. But I'll probably have a better read from them for Thursday's show as opposed to actually doing the show in East Lansing on Wednesday. I'm only doing the show in East Lansing because I have a game there that night. Not like we're trying to break any news here. But I will be there on Wednesday. It's going to be an interesting trip. It's going to be interesting, too, to see how Michigan State basketball handles things, because I can tell you firsthand, I mean, this affects players.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.